Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, Believe.
All right. How many of you guys have ever been having a conversation with someone, a friend, a family member, oftentimes a grandparent, and they just say something that sounds completely and totally insane? You ever been around that? Like, I have a friend in Texas, and we were having lunch one day, and up until this point, I thought this guy was completely normal. And we're having lunch. Love this guy. And he starts talking, and then he starts talking as if I agree about how we faked the moon landing. You better laugh at that, because we didn't fake it. And I didn't know what to do, because he just kept talking about it. I kept waiting to be like, I'm just kidding. He wasn't kidding. And I'm like, oh, you're crazy. And we've all had those experiences. It's worse when it's like somebody you look up to, like a boss or a professor, you know. And a lot of times it's a political opinion that you find crazy, right? Like it's really far to the right or the left, whichever you hate. You know, it just drives you crazy. Or like they say something about history and you're like, no, that is wrong. What are you doing? You know, you're talking to your boss and like 20 minutes in, he talks about, well, it doesn't matter because in 2030, the aliens are coming back to get us. And he doesn't laugh. And you're like, I have to quit my job. He is an insane person. See, I think we've all had situations like that happen. And the reason I bring that up is because if you've ever had that happen to you, if you've ever been, especially if you had someone that you look up to, that you kind of admired, say something crazy, then you know exactly how Jesus' best friends and closest followers felt when he made the statement we're going to talk about today. Because they're just going along, and then Jesus is teaching. This is actually in one of his most famous sermons. Jesus is teaching, and then he says something that I'm certain that the 12 disciples, those were his 12 closest friends and followers, when Jesus was napping later or was off praying or something, they huddled up and they were like, okay, did you hear that? Did he really said that, right? And they're like, yeah, dude, I thought I was the only one that heard it. I was surprised y'all stayed. And because it's so shocking and it's so crazy and it's so out of the norm of what we as people believe, that it just put them on their backs. But the reason we're talking about it today is because it's true. And the sooner we realize that it's true, the quicker we can have our lives completely and totally changed. So if you were here last week, I actually talked about this just a little bit. So you could turn in your Bibles, if you haven't, to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount, one of his most famous sermons. And in chapter 5, verse 27, he says, you've heard the command that says, you must not commit adultery, right? We talked about this last week. You must not commit adultery. You've heard that command. I've heard that command. And then Jesus says something so insane that everyone, what? Kind of had to take a step back. Here's what he says. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What Jesus is saying is that doing doesn't really matter. It's the wanting. That's the problem. And we want to say, no, 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 Jesus. We have spent our entire lives telling ourselves that as long as we don't do it, it doesn't matter what we want. And Jesus says, nope, it doesn't work that way. In fact, in the same passage, Jesus says, hey, you've heard me say, like, not murder, don't murder people. But I say, if you hold a grudge against somebody, if you wish bad things to happen, if you hate them, if you hold ill will in your heart, it's as if you've committed murder. Now, everybody's being cool today. Let's be honest. That sounds crazy, right? Like that's crazy talk. We as humans have spent a long time convincing ourselves that our brains don't really matter, that our thoughts don't really matter. We're free to think whatever we want. We're free to dream. We're free to fantasize. It's all a safe place as long as we don't act on it. In fact, we've created a word that we use all the time to talk about how strong we are and how we don't give in to our thoughts. And that word is willpower. We brag about how much willpower we have. Tourists are back in town. your willpower's going up. You have to have that willpower not to reach your hand out the window and give them a warm Myrtle Beach welcome. You think hateful things in your head, but you're like, I didn't do it, God. I didn't do it. And God says, it doesn't matter. See, you think it's all about what you do. I'm saying it's about what you think. In fact, what Jesus is really saying is this. He's saying, if you want it, it's like you did it. Think about that. If you want it, if you dream about it, if you fantasize about it, what God's saying through his son Jesus is, it's like you did it. So some of you are thinking, well, good, I'll just do it. Not the point. Not the point. So what I want to do today is I kind of want to wrestle with this and say, all right, why would Jesus say this, right? And I think if Jesus was standing right here, we could say, dude, why in the world do you care so much about our thoughts? Why does it matter? Our actions are what matter. Why do you care about our thoughts? And if Jesus were sitting here, here's what he would say. He would say, every action begins as a thought. That's why I care about your thoughts. Because every mistake, every bad word, every action out of anger, every mistake you've made out of jealousy, every step you've ever made out of greed, every one of those actions that you now regret, those actions that you wish you could take back, those actions that you don't understand what happened, every one of those actions began as a thought. And see, you've been lied to. You've been told that your mind is a safe place, that your mind is a safe zone, that it's free from action, that you can just think and dream, and as long as you don't act, you're okay. But Jesus would say, I'm here to tell you, your mind is dangerous. Your thoughts are dangerous. And you're like, come on, man, really? And here's what Jesus would say. Do you want to know what my dad thinks about your heart? Do you want to know what my dad thinks about your mind? What my dad thinks about your thoughts? His dad would be God. We actually know what he thinks, because when in the Old Testament, if you've ever read the Bible, it's the book of Genesis through Malachi, it's the first two-thirds of our Bible. In the Old Testament, God spoke directly to humans, or he would speak through a kind of an intermediary called a prophet. He would literally tell the prophet what to say, right? And today we're going to look at this prophet named Jeremiah. And God would call up Jeremiah and be like, yo, Jeremiah, what's up, dude? And he'd be like, what's up, God? How you doing, man? And he would say, all right, Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do today. And he would tell him audibly exactly what he wanted him to go do and exactly what he wanted him to go say, and Jeremiah would go do it. And one of the times when he's talking to Jeremiah, he talks about our heart, our thoughts, our mind, our feelings, our emotions. You know, the heart, the thing you've been taught your whole life just to follow. Just follow your heart. Just do what feels right. If it feels good, do it. Just follow your heart. Yeah, I'm about to slam that. Well, not me, God. So Jesus would say, man, I know you guys are confused, and you think your heart and your mind and your thoughts are this safe place, but let me show you what Dad thinks. Because Dad told Jeremiah, the prophet from the Old Testament, wasn't a bullfrog, it was actually dude. He told Jeremiah exactly, some of you got that. Told Jeremiah, my son would have loved that joke. I told that for David. He tells Jeremiah exactly what he thinks about the human mind, the human heart, human thoughts. I'm going to warn you, it's going to offend some of you. I don't care. Here's what he says, Jeremiah 17. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Even God doesn't know how jacked up you are. But think about that. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And you're like, come on, Trey. That's not true of me. My heart's not deceitful. My heart's not desperately wicked. God knows just how bad. It's just a little bad. It's not that bad. Well, let's remember, God is talking about all of humanity when he's making this point. Now let's think about all of humanity for a minute. I want you to think about some of the worst atrocities in human history. I want you to think about the grossest, worst things that have ever been perpetrated on mankind. Then I want you to remember every single one of them came from a man or woman, and every single one of those acts began in their heart, began in their mind. And here's the scary part. They thought what they were doing was right. And you think, how on earth could they think that was okay? How could they think that was right? How could they think that was a good thing? Well, God tells us, because the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And it is desperately wicked. See, our mind and our heart can convince us anything we want is okay. We have a word for it. You're very familiar with the word. The word is rationalize. And you're like, oh, come on, that's not that bad. Yes, it is. That's what we as humans do, right? We rationalize. Let's look at it. Rationalize is what? An attempt to justify, an attempt to make right, an attempt to make okay one's own behavior with logical, plausible reasons, even if these are not true. Come on. You rationalize all the time. I rationalize all the time. Yeah, I know I'm on this diet, but I want a donut. And I have earned this donut. And in the name of Jesus, I deserve this donut. And I'm going to eat this donut. I've been on a diet for 5 years, but I like donuts. And it is causes a problem for me. But we all do it. Some of you today on the way to church, on your way to worship God, you were late because you go to Wellspring and you live in Myrtle Beach. And so you were like, well, I know speed limit's 55, but I'm going to go 65, 75, maybe even 85. And what you said, God protect me because I'm speeding for you. Better let me get a ticket. I'm speeding for you, God. And God's like, you could have just left 10 minutes earlier. I know that's crazy. That's crazy. Crazy. You had to snooze. You rationalized snooze, didn't you? Man, it was a long night. I can snooze one more time. I'll just speed on the way to church. It'll be okay. But we do it. We've been doing it our entire lives. When you were in school, some of you are students right now. God, I got to pass this test. This is a big test, and I didn't have time to study in because we had Love Weekend last weekend, and I was all serving it up for you, God, so I didn't have time to study. So I'm just going to sit next to my friend who's really smart, and I'm only going to peek when I have to. I'm only going to look when I have to, God. I'm not going to look the whole time, just when I have to. But God, you know I need this. Or God, you know I love you, and I know we're good and all, and I know that your son and Paul both say we're supposed to pay our taxes. Uh-oh. We're supposed to pay our taxes. Yes, coming up in a few days. But God, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't like the government. I especially don't like that Obama. And I ain't giving him my money. And it's going to be okay. God, I'm going to use more of it for you. I'm going to use more, well, and for my pool. But I'm going to invite the pastor over to swim in my pool, God. And we rationalize. We make it okay. And you know, and I know, we all do this all the time. We do it for anything we want to do, right? Anything we decide in our minds are okay because we rationalize it. We do these things. So let's go back to Jesus and say, all right, Jesus, again, tell me again why thoughts matter. Tell me again why it matters what I think. And here's what Jesus would say. He'd say, well, it matters because the longer we want it, the likelier we'll do it. See, eventually your thoughts are going to turn into actions. And you're like, no, they're not, because I got willpower, dude. I got willpower. My brain is a safe place. It's okay. I can dream and I can think and I can think about things I shouldn't think about. It's okay. And Jesus is like, it's not. It's not, because I know you and I love you, and that's never going to change. But your thoughts, your heart, your feelings, your emotions are naturally desperately wicked, and they are deceitful above all things. And you're still not convinced, and that's okay. We're not done yet. But here's what happens. You have a thought you shouldn't have, but it's okay Because it always starts small. You're at work. And this new guy or new girl's hired at work, and they're younger than you, and they have many of the attributes prized by the superficial male or female, and you start trying to be nice to them, but you're like, man, I just want to help them out. And inevitably, you know, they friend you on Facebook. And they're like, well, I can't be rude. I got to be friends with them on Facebook, and I gotta go like something. I gotta go show them. And so you go in, because we live in Myrtle Beach. There's pictures of them in bathing suits on Facebook. Oh, come on, that's funny. Unless y'all, everybody's like, uh-oh, he's talking about me. Maybe so. So anyway, guys, you go and you like her on Facebook, and you're like, oh, look, there's a picture of her in a bikini. Isn't that swell? And so you scroll through, and you keep looking. And there's something in your head saying, hey, you're married, dude. You're not supposed to do this. And you're like, oh, it's okay. I'm just looking. It's just a thought. And later, when you're not looking at Facebook, you start thinking about those pictures again. You start thinking about them, and you're like, yeah, it's not bad. And you have a really vivid imagination. And so now your mind starts thinking about, well, what would happen if she took that bathing suit off it? Now, that's nice, too. And what if I was in the picture with her? And eventually your mind just keeps going and going and going. And then it gets really bad because your wife's been sick for a couple of weeks, and your kid keeps coming in the room because they wet the bed every night or because they get sick, like in our house last night. And so you start saying, oh, man, this is tough. Well, at least I got that girl. So you start thinking about her more and more and more. And before you know it, you are definitely thinking and fantasizing and starting to want things you shouldn't want. And because you believe the lie that a thought is just a thought, you think it's all okay. You think, oh, no, nothing's happened. No, this is just in my mind. This is just in my safe zone. This is just in my playground. I would never act on it. But what's happened is because you've allowed it to linger in there, because you've allowed it to dwell, because you've allowed it to plant roots, it's going to grow. And you're going to begin to rationalize that it's okay. And you're going to tell yourself that because you never act on it, it is perfectly okay for you to imagine yourself sleeping with someone other than your spouse. And once that happens, you are one bad circumstance away from making the biggest mistake of your life. And when it happens, you will have never saw it coming. You won't even know what happened. You'll be like, I don't understand how this happens. Here's how it all happens. Fast forward a few months, and you and your wife get in one of those fights. Not like the Everybody Loves Raymond fights. Like, you get in one of those, like, we're screaming at each other, we're crying, you're thinking about going to get a hotel, like, you don't know what to do, but it is knocked down. And don't look at me like I'm crazy. You'll have those fights too. Quit. Like, we don't fight like that, liars. So, you know, you have one of those just, like, crazy fights. Okay? And you got to get up and go to work. And you are just still so angry about it. And guess who comes to your office? Facebook girl. And she is so sweet, and she can, what's wrong with you? And everything, and he's like, don't tell her what's wrong. Don't tell her what's wrong. And you say, my wife's awful. You tell her. You start talking about, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about that. Hey, you know what? I'm going to take you out for drinks after work, make you feel better. And you're like, okay, good. It's just a thought. Drinks turn into dinner. Dinner turns into, well, I'm a gentleman. I should at least walk her to her door. Walking her door turns into going inside. And the next morning you wake up and you realize you've destroyed your life. Because now you've got to explain to your daughter why mommy and daddy aren't going to live together anymore. And you're so confused. How did this happen? How did I get to this point? I never would have done this. This isn't me. Ask anybody who's ever cheated if they woke up that morning and planned to cheat. It wasn't me. It's not what I wanted to do. Jesus, how did this happen? And Jesus would lovingly remind you, well, every action begins as a thought. That's why I told you, your thoughts matter. We just have to choose what we're going to believe. Because we have two paths here.
We can choose to take Jesus at his word, understand that thoughts have consequences, that thoughts matter, and we can change our thoughts. Or we can continue to live in the fantasy world that our thoughts won't matter, and then we can ask him to pick up the pieces after we make the mistake. But see, it's really very simple. It all comes down to what we believe. See, what we believe affects what we think. If we believe our thoughts are important, if we believe our thoughts matter, we're not going to allow ourselves to think those thoughts. But if we believe that our mind is a safe zone, we're going to think those thoughts. Those thoughts are going to produce emotions. They're going to produce feelings. That's why you think them. You think them because they're fun. You think them because they feel good. You think them because they make you feel sexy, or they make you feel invincible, or they make you feel like, if I could just get this stuff, then I'll be satisfied. Because hear me, this isn't just about lust, by the way. There's a lot of us that have been jealous for years, and we let it cause us to spend way more money than we had, and you're living in the regret of all this debt you can't pay. There's many of us who have harbored anger towards a family member, and now, like last week, you said something you can't ever take back. And even as it was coming out of your mouth, you were like, where's that coming from? You try to grab it and bring it back in. You thought it. You thought it a ton, but you never thought you'd say it out loud. And see, Jesus is saying, no. If you believe your thoughts are a safe place, you're going to think it, you're going to feel it, and you're going to act. See, listen to me. The battlefield for our lives lies on a 5-inch piece of real estate between our ears. That's where the game's won and lost, right here. And once you begin to allow sin to live and be comfortable up here, it is literally just a matter of time before it comes out. And so that's why Jesus would say, hey, you don't have to do that. I have a better way. And the cool thing is, the better way was actually presented to us in the Old Testament through another prophet. God tells Jeremiah how bad we are. Then God tells another prophet named Ezekiel what he's going to do about it. Here's what he says. I will give you a new heart. Doesn't that make sense? If your toaster's broken, you get a new toaster. If your cell phone's broken, you get a new cell phone. Our hearts are broken. They are desperately wicked. They are deceitful above all things. So God says, I got this, dude. I'm going to give you a new heart. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. God's like, I want to help you out. I want to fix this. And the way he did it was through his son, Jesus. See, we all know the part about how Jesus came to pay the price for our sins. He came, lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross, and that meant we didn't have to pay our penalty for our mistakes. And then he came back to life, which meant we could follow him. But what it also means is when we choose to follow him, God can begin to reach in and can literally begin to change that deceitful, rationalizing, stony heart, and he can replace it with his heart, with a heart that truly desires the things of God. And let me tell you why, because I feel like we miss this all the time. So many of us think God gives us the commands and God wants us to be like him just so he can have more church-going people who vote the right way and who don't go see rated R movies, right? Like that's, but here's the thing. The only reason God gives you commands, the only reason God tries to speak in and tell you how to live your life is because following God in your life is going to result in the best life possible for you. That is it. He doesn't like you more. He doesn't like you less if you disobey. He's not up there bragging. He's saying, look what they did today. He doesn't get his jollies because you obey him. It is a truly selfless act. He wants the best for you. And believing the best about him and following him produces the best for you. And those of you who still live with pain and shame and regret of your past mistakes, you know this is true. Shame and regret, guilt, those are not emotions of the God of the universe ever intended you to feel, ever. They were not in his plan for you. And he says, hey, come follow me. And you don't ever have to feel those again. See, we're going to fast forward right now to our buddy Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. right? Paul was an early church pastor, and he was a church planner. He'd go start new churches. He was also a prolific writer. He would write letters to these churches, and we believe as Christians that God himself was speaking through Paul's pen, and that was Paul was writing those words. It was literally God speaking through him. So we can read these letters almost 2,000 years later, and we know what God wants for our life. And in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, right, in Romans chapter 12, Paul addresses this issue specifically. And he gives us the exact plan for what we should do to overcome this lie and to begin to experience this new heart that God has planned for us. In Romans 12, it says this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." Because of all he's done for you. You know, he rescued us when we had rebelled. He sent his son to pay the price for our sins. He brought his son back to life as an example that we could too. He's never judged us. He's never condemned us. He's only pursued us with absolute love. And so what Paul's saying is, hey, because of that, give your bodies to God. What that means is surrender yourselves to God. Surrender your thoughts and your actions and your emotions. Give them to God. He says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Here's what that means. It means you stand before God and you kneel and you bow your head and you say, God, I surrender. I surrender my wants. I surrender my desires. I surrender my hopes, my dreams. I surrender what I think is going to make me happy. I surrender what I believe I deserve. I give it all to you. And I want to want what you want. I want to desire what you desire. I want to dream what you dream. And what Paul says is, he says, this is the kind that God's going to find acceptable. And then he says, why? He says, because this is truly the way to worship God. Worship is simply our response to God, how we respond to what he's done. And so what Paul is saying is, the only response you can have to, listen to this, an all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God is to let him be the leader of your life. Now just think about that logically. Do you know everything? Teenagers, you don't. Do you know everything that everyone's thinking is going to happen at all times? No. Do you know the future? No. Can you change the past? No. Is there anybody in your life who loves you absolutely perfectly? Who's never been selfish with you, who's never tried to manipulate you, who's never tried to get you to do something that was outside of your own good but was for their benefit? Yes, of course there is. And then God comes along. He's like, hey, I love you perfectly. And I know everything that's ever going to happen. I know the future. And my state of desire is to give you the absolute best life you can possibly imagine. And in return, all I ask is that you live that life. All I ask is that you obey. And you just do what I say, and you think what I think, and you let me change you from the inside out, and let me help you get rid of that guilt and that shame and that jealousy and that anger and that lust. I can help you get rid of all that. That's what I do. And you can live a life of purpose and meaning and satisfaction, and you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. That's what I offer. That's what he says. And in return, all we got to do is let him be in charge. I think that's pretty fair. And here's what Paul says. This is how it works. Once we've made that decision, then he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. This idea that a thought's just a thought. That my mind's a safe place. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God, what? Transform you into a new person with a new heart. Let it transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's what he wants to do. Change the way you think. Today it's a big one. Changing the way you think about thoughts. See, when you walked in, you thought one thing about thoughts. You thought they were safe. I hope as you leave today, you'll think something different. And what's happened? Not me. I wasn't convincing. Trust me. The Holy Spirit just reached in and changed your heart. He literally reached into your life and changed the way you thought. And that is what he wants to do for you every single day for the rest of your life. Because when we allow that to happen, watch what happens. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When we allow him to reach in and change us, we begin to know what he wants for our life, and it's good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. And it will also take a lifetime, by the way. But so how do we do this? How do we get renewed? How do we allow God to change us? Well, number one, what you're doing right now. Every week as a church, we pray as hard as we can, and we plan that we give you a sermon and an entire weekend experience that touches on something in your life where God is saying, hey, you think one way about it. I want you to think this way about it. And we pray you leave here having changed your mind. Because that's how you renew your mind. But eventually, you have to take this upon yourself. And you have to learn to read the Bible for yourself so that God can daily renew you. And you have to be in a group of people who are also walking through this so you can ask them questions and challenge. And I believe another part of this is to even be involved in a local church and to begin serving so that you can begin practicing what you're hearing and you can put into practice serving other people and putting other people first and loving other people and watching God use you to transform the world around you. But none of it will matter until you make a simple decision. Either your thoughts matter or they don't. You don't think they do. Jesus says they matter a great deal because every action began as a thought. So as we wrap up today, there's a simple prayer I want to challenge you to begin praying. I want you to begin praying this prayer each day and just watch what God does. Here's the prayer. Father, renew my mind today so you don't have to redeem my mistake tomorrow. See, because God can do both. I need you to hear me say that. Each of us in this room, we've already made mistakes, right? And God loves us. And he can redeem those. We just spent 4 weeks doing a whole series about when you're in a pit, God's going to deliver his promise. So do not leave here today feeling guilty or shamed. Leave here today with hope that you don't have to keep walking into landmine after landmine after landmine and God has to pick up the pieces. God's saying, no, let me renew your mind today so I don't have to redeem your mistakes tomorrow. He's like, we can do this the easy way. Now, I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm with you the whole time. If you make a big mistake, I'm not going to love you any less than I do right now. But wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be safer? Wouldn't you be able to go further, faster in your life and in your family's life and in your kids' life if you allow me today to begin to fix you from the inside, to begin to change you on the inside, to change your thoughts before they become actions? I can literally, God would say, I could reach in and change you before you make that mistake. So that's really what you have to decide today. You have to decide if you believe God. If you believe God, if you believe his son Jesus, if you believe he's telling us the truth, why on earth would you want to learn the hard way when God says, I can teach you the easy way. I can help you avoid these landmines. I can help you have a life of purpose and meaning. And not only can I remove your guilt and shame, I can prevent it from happening. And it all comes down to what you think about what you think. If it's a safe place, then it's become the devil's playground. And he's going to put thoughts and dreams and fantasies and wishes, and he's going to water them and grow them. And eventually you're going to act on them. And God's going to be there to redeem it. But there's going to be a lot of pain in the process. Or you could decide, you know what? This is not a safe place. This is ground zero for my life. Father, renew my mind today so you don't have to redeem my mistakes tomorrow. Change me from the inside out so that I will know more and more your perfect will for my life.
Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much. And Father, I beg as the pastor of this church, I pray so hard for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that this lesson will land in our souls. I pray that this truth will surround us, will fill us, and that each one of us will walk out of here today praying and begging you to redeem our mind today so that you don't have to redeem our mistakes tomorrow. Father, renew our mind today. Renew, renew, renew. We surrender it to you. It is the only thing we can possibly do in return because of all you've given for us. Give us your thoughts. Give us your emotions. Give us your heart so that we can live the life you want us to live. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.